This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Laurie Anderson embraces experimentation. As a performance artist, she blends storytelling, video, and techno-inspired music. She also has a background as a pop musician, and she's always used her art and music to express a particularly arch view of the world and of her own mind.
I don't know about your brain, but mine is really bossy.
This is Laurie Anderson singing Baby Doll off her 1987 album Strange Angel.
And then I hear this voice coming from the back of my head. It's my brain again. And when my brain talks to me, he says,
Laurie Anderson is performing her latest show, Delusion, which opens tonight at the Arts Emerson main stage in Boston. Now, if you haven't seen Anderson on stage, well, it's not easy to explain what she does. She's a classically trained violinist, so her high-tech violin is always a part of her shows. So is the lush and complex techno-inspired music, as well as her storytelling and commentary. Here's a clip from her last show, called Homeland. Laurie Anderson's new multimedia stage show, Delusion, is a collection of 20 stories. She came in recently to tell us about it. She said the show was inspired in part by a series of visual projections that she was working on, and on an unsuccessful effort to write plays.
They were terrible. They were just idiotic, and I realized I can't write plays. This is horrible. But I was working on these projections, and I thought, oh, these are so beautiful. Maybe they need some music. I added some music, and then I thought, you know, they need some words. So I went back to those plays and got a few things, and that was the beginning of how they all the things sort of linked up.
And what kind of delusions are you exploring in this work?
Partly political ones. Living in the United States today, I think, is kind of a delusional experience. It's very hard to kind of separate what we call the real world from some kind of strange dream world. So some of it is that, some of it's political, some of it is the way actual dreams and reality mix. It's dedicated to my mother because she made an incredible speech on her deathbed, and it was this kind of thing where everyone's gathered around. I have like 7 brothers and sisters. We were all there, and she gave this speech sort of like just as she was dying, sort of stepping up to a microphone almost and talking to like history or the world or to us. And then it was kind of formal, and then it started sort of breaking apart, and she started talking to all the animals that were gathered on the ceiling that saw there.
One of the lines that sort of haunted me about death was, I think you say, what are the things you say before you turn into dirt?
No, I'm not trying to say the delusion is some death trip. You know, it's also funny, and it has a lot of characters in it.
Well, speaking of the characters in your shows, I understand that Fenway Bergamot makes an appearance, and I recall you doing this on stage a while ago with the help of a voice synthesizer. You actually lower your voice and really present sort of an alter ego on the stage.
It's a voice that does that.
But, Laurie, it's quite striking. For people who haven't seen it, I just want to explain what happens. You're a rather slender woman, attractive, but suddenly you've got this voice appearing to come out of your body of a large, heavy-set man. It's quite striking and quite disorienting.
There was a moment during the financial crash, when it really just crashed. There was we were out on tour, and everyone was very worried, and I remember that. But anyway, it reminded me of the scene in the movie when a man comes running into the saloon.
Everyone should have an alternate voice. Don't you get sick of your voice?
That's the wrong question to ask a radio host.
anybody who thinks about it, you're like, suddenly you catch yourself in the middle of saying something, you're like, oh my God. Do I have to listen to myself again? I hope voice filters really catch on in real time, because it's much nicer to have a choice of voices.
I think you're on to something.
Yay.
I want to play a clip, if I could. We have a clip of an instrumental piece from Delusion. This is called Flow.
The violin is my kind of alter ego as well, and it's almost like I can tell the story and the violin can cry. I also use a lot of keyboard things and electronics in Delusion. What it does is set up many different ways of telling a story. Just the way in a movie, you know, you're looking at a scene and the music tells you how to feel about it because you're not really sure, and then the music goes, "This is really sad." or take this one with a grain of salt.
And let me ask you about the use of moving images on the stage. That's something that I've seen you do years ago. Your last show, Homeland, you relied on music and narrative alone. Can you talk about why you've returned to using moving images?
I guess it really wasn't an economic thing in a certain way, because for a while, if you toured with projection, it was just ridiculously expensive. And now everything is smaller, cheaper, faster, and kind of quicker. And I love that because it creates a very lively picture and you're always like looking around the stage, not glued to one rectangular image.
You know, I hadn't thought of this in relation to what you do and your performances, but the sort of technological advances that we've enjoyed over the last couple of decades. I mean, this must have been awfully exciting for you, given the kind of performances you like to do that rely so heavily and make such interesting use of technology.
To do Delusion 20 years ago, I would have needed like 12 large trucks. Huh. To do it 10 years ago, it would have been one truck. Now it's 12 Pelican cases, like photo cases, and that's the whole show. So the speed and the size of things is just changed so much. It means that you can do a lot of things in a much more flexible way, and it makes it a huge amount of fun for me because I can go back to doing visual things, and it's not a big production.
I wanted to ask you a bit more about Homeland. In it, you deal with war, with Wall Street, American involvement in Iraq. And let me play a track off of Homeland. This is called Only an Expert.
And sometimes when the subprime mortgages collapse and banks close and businesses fail and the crisis spreads around the world, sometimes other experts say, just because all the markets crashed doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad thing.
In Homeland, among other things, you were distressed over America's war in Iraq. And at one point you ask, "Oh, my brothers, oh, my sisters, how do we begin again?" It's a tough question that betrays certain sadness, maybe even pessimism about our world. Do you feel that way?
Well, I'm by nature an optimistic person. But that said, I think in the last 10 years, the world has changed more than it ever has in my lifetime. You know, it's become a different place. And I'm bitter about that. You know, a couple of weeks ago or whenever that was, 9/11 celebration or Day of Memory, I realized how angry I am about how things have changed in terms of loss of freedom, in terms of the kind of paranoia and fear structures that are around, in terms of the 140 new surveillance, government-sponsored surveillance agencies. Those are things that have really torn things apart. It has changed our society so deeply that I have to say on certain levels I'm kind of pessimistic about that.
In your past work, including Homeland, it seems like you're drawing things you're seeing in the outside world. It seems Delusion is more of an investigation of the internal, of what's happening within the psyche of Laurie Anderson. Is that true?
Yeah, it's definitely a more, let's say, personal thing than the record Homeland, which had some things to say about sort of bigger landscapes.
Sure. Laurie, I haven't seen you perform in many years, but I'm curious about how much you tweak your shows as you move from city to city or even performance to performance. Are they always evolving? Do you ever stop tweaking them, or do you get them just where you want them and that's the way they stay? Because I know you're a bit of a perfectionist.
They don't really stay one way or another. I mean, every time you play something, it's really different. And fortunately, this is like a lot of sort of improvisation, I'd have to say, because places are so different. And you realize, ooh, I cannot play loud in this hall or it's just going to be chaotic and muddy and awful. And so, I mean, more and more the place seems to make a lot of difference for me. I've always wanted to do like site-specific music, so I spent a couple of weeks in Lincoln Center Plaza outside in the rain in July, very hot rain, just kind of trying to write about that place and sort of eavesdropping on who was there. And I wrote that very fast in a couple of weeks and just performed it there. And I thought, this is really fun. Maybe I'll try to find a place in Boston when I'm there and write about it.
Well, we look forward to that. Laurie, thank you so much. What a pleasure to talk to you. I'm very grateful.
Same here. Thank you. Here they come. Here they come.
Here they come. Laurie Anderson's Delusion opens tonight at the Arts Emerson main stage and runs through Sunday, October 2nd. More information on our website, radioboston.org. And we'll end today with music off of Laurie Anderson's 1989 album, Strange Angel.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, Dan Mossy, and Jason Breslow. Our interns are Gautier Giacomoni and Julia Lasagne.
Jeremy Bernfeld is our web producer. Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.